When I'm preaching on the Holy Communion, I'm always reminded of a particular lady back home in Singapore. My wife is fully aware. Very elderly person, probably in the 80s, late 80s, if not, she's in the 90s. She comes to our second service. Our first service happens in the morning, and then the second service at 10:30, and she comes. Very elderly person. When I was working on this particular text, I was just remembering her, but she's with the Lord. More than, I think, late 80s, 90s. She's so excited when she comes to the communion table. You know, and she tells us that she will never drink anything on that particular day, the first Sunday of the month. By the way, we have it on the first and the third Sundays, communion. She doesn't take her breakfast, and the first meal is the communion meal for her. That was the thing. And you will see her, she wants to be the first. Can you imagine, you know, in your 90s, she almost like, she will run to the, you know, we have an altar where you need to kneel down and take your communion, and she runs and she wants to be the first one. Not that she was self-centered, I think there was a joy in her, a lot of excitement. You know, I want to be part of this communion. It's the Lord's table. You know, that taught me a lot of lesson about how, and one of her prayer was, she told me and my wife, you know, I was fortunate to conduct a funeral too. She said, you know, when I die, I don't want anyone to cut my body. In other words, I don't want to go through any surgery of any nature. And it's my prayer. Very pious person. And she said, you know, I want to be just go, you know, as the Lord calls me. I remember very vividly the day on Easter Sunday, the family called me and said, you know, my mom has gone to be with the Lord. We went to see her, the body, as if she was sleeping. Right? Just on Easter Sunday, she left to be with the Lord. So what a powerful testimony of a person who loves to have the communion. Today, we live in a time and age, you know, sometimes I feel we have lost the reverence, the awe, right? Because there are many teachings that goes around the communion today. A lot of dispute, there's a lot of controversy that happens, not only in the Corinthian church, but even in churches today, right? Many of you would have read there are four different kinds of views about communion. You know, the Catholics have a different view. They call it this transubstantiation view, which I don't want to dwell. And Luther came along with a different view altogether. Then Zwingli came along with another kind of a view. And finally, you know, you'll see John Calvin coming with a lot of a different view altogether. You know, whatever view it is, the communion is an important sacrament. It's an important time. And the Lord really emphasized about it before he left to prepare the kingdom for us. So let's spend some time in prayer before we look at God's word. Father, we thank you, Lord, that what a joy that we can come and to have communion with you today. In baptism, O God, we are united. And through communion, Father, we build, we renew our relationship even today with you. And so, Lord, we pray, God, as we dwell on this topic again, help us, O Lord, to renew our walk with you, Jesus, as we start this new month with your grace and your mercy upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Like my slide is not responding. Okay. Yeah, John Watson said this wonderful word. He said, a sacrament is a visible sermon. I think every time we come to the communion table, the communion itself gives us a sermon. It teaches us something great and lesson about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul writes to the church and he speaks about it you know, very vividly in many of the passages that Paul writes. We tend to see, I know to some of you, it's more of a recap, right? It's a picture of the Passover where the angel of God passed over the doors that were smeared with the blood in Exodus chapter 12. And then Paul writes, it's about the Lord's table. It's a table where we have fellowship with the Lord, or at times it's called the Lord's Supper, right? Or sometimes it's even called the Last Supper, the Eucharist. In certain traditions, they emphasize on that, and then it's a memorial. I think all of us are very familiar with all these things. And so it is important for us, you know, not to take it lightly, but when we come for communion, to know that we are actually having a fellowship with God. You know, we are having a communion, a relationship with God, renewing our faith and our longing for Him. And so Paul was writing this particular letter to the church. As you know very vividly, and Paul writes, it's a very hard letter that he's writing. You know, there was a lot of things that was happening in this particular church. And so Paul is instructing the church to be careful, to be on the alert, and not to lose focus as they come and to be part of the communion. Just to give you a background, what was happening, you know, in those days, the Corinth was going through a famine, right? So people were having difficulty to have food, access to food. And communion, or the supper, was more of a meal or a feast or like a dinner. People came and they shared and they ate. And it was difficult in those days. So what was happening, you know? It was difficult to gather in smaller homes, in house churches. So they came to villas where it was owned by rich people. The rich people had the means to provide. And that was the responsibility of those days. If God has blessed me, it's my opportunity to open the door, to have communion, to have a meal with my fellow brothers and sisters. But what was happening in a time of famine, you know, these rich people were neglecting the poor people. They're feeding to themselves. It was, you know, it's my money, it's my place, I have all these things, let me enjoy the thing first. And it, you know, the others, the poor, were left with crumbs. That was happening in the church. There was, instead of, you know, bringing unity through the communion, there was divisions. There was no waiting for the poor people. And so Paul emphasizes about this, and he wants them to remember the importance of communion. Maybe today, we don't do communion like the way the early church did, right? We just have a cup and some juice that comes along. But we see the importance of communion that Paul emphasizes. I think it's important for us to know. So this was the problem that was happening. So Paul says in the following directives, I have no praise for you. Your meetings do more harm than good. And so Paul was very upset about this church. It was a difficult letter that he wrote to the Corinthian people, the first letter that he wrote. It was a difficult letter, but it was a letter to challenge them to think about where they are. Right? In the first place, I heard that when you come together as a church, there were divisions among you. The rich were taking the best seeds, the best food was given to them because it was their food, right? The poor, the helpers, the needy, the neglected were totally neglected. They were just living, right, with whatever that was left over in that particular communion. Maybe we don't have, you know, such things that's happening here, but then we need to see the importance of communion today in our context that we are living in today. Right? Three words which I want to see. First is a reminder. Communion is a reminder. What does it remind us of? It's very interesting, you know, when Jesus spoke about communion, right? You know, it is called memorial. So some of you would have attended memorial services. What happens in a memorial service, right? In a memorial service, you talk about the person. You talk about the way the person came into this world, right? The family background, the achievements the person received in his life, where they worked, and finally, we close the memorial service by looking at the death of the person. But here, Jesus is emphasizing something important, right? He's not saying that you talk about, you don't, he doesn't say that you don't talk about my birth. He doesn't minimize that, right? But the Lord wants us to emphasize on this thing. The first thing he says, you proclaim the Lord's death. It's not about my life. It's not about my teaching or the miracles that I did, which is important, which are essential for Christian living. But he wants us to remember the Lord's death until he comes. The Lord's death is important, my friend. Because when you look at the world those days, you know, what was happening, right? Christianity was, you know, just moving forward. But, you know, it became another moral teaching. It started emphasizing on the death of Christ, but along the way, it became a moral teaching. It became, you know, five things to do to be successful in your Christian life, four things that will please God, the 12 steps. You know, that was the way it became. And even today, that many a times when you go to and even listen to certain sermons and all that, there's a lot of emphasis about, you know, how do we be successful in our Christian life? How can I be successful in these things? I'm not against that, my friend. It's wonderful. God wants us to be, you know, joyful, successful, whatnot. But Paul emphasizes, because, you know, this is important. Without the death of Christ, there is no Christianity. Without the cross, there is nothing, my friend. There is no reason for us to come and to worship God. And so Jesus is emphasizing, and this is an important doctrine the church, not only at that time, but even today, has to safeguard, right? It is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, there's a lot of emphasis about grace and mercy and goodness. That's wonderful. But the death of Christ is primary. And so Paul, not only, you know, if you look at the writings of Paul very carefully, he talks about, but we preach Christ crucified. It can be a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness is to Gentiles. You know, whatever they might say about it. But Christ is crucified. Period. That is important. That is vital to our Christian faith. Christ is crucified. There's no way we will compromise. That's what Paul is trying to say. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, he says, for I resolve to know nothing while I'm with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That is a primary teaching, my friend. And he also said, I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's important. It's not just an add-on to our Christian faith. Christianity without the cross is not Christianity. It becomes another moral teaching, another way of life, another way of living. And so, and that was the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Jesus, from the right from the start of Jesus' ministry, that he says, I came to do my Father's business, to save, to seek and to save the lost. To die. I think today, my friends, we need to be careful, because today, right, there's a lot of opportunities, right, for us to dilute the gospel. Paul wants them to safeguard that this is fundamental, this is primary. So when we come to the Lord's table, we are not just coming and partaking the communion. We are saying that Christ came, and without Christ there is no salvation, my friend. It's only Jesus who's able to do that. And he also says in this particular word, if you look at it very carefully, you know, until he comes, until Jesus comes, when we'll have a feast with him, this is important. Let's not lose focus. The love of Christ is seen at the communion table, the death of Christ. So it's something for me to always remember that Jesus died, right? Interestingly, when you look at the word very carefully, right, it affirms God's love. You know, I was looking at the word very carefully. Paul uses the word, you know, he says you. The you here in Greek, it's a personal you. In other words, to each and every one of you. It's easy to say, for God so loved the world, right? But here, this is my body which is given for you, for me, for each and every one of us. So God's love is for each and every one of us. The death of Jesus Christ is for each and every one of us. Look at the word again. I like to look at words. You know, it's very interesting. You know, you proclaim the Lord's death. Sometimes, you know, the English word doesn't do justice to the translation of the Greek word. Proclaim means you proclaim, you say, you tell, right? Jeffrey, can I use you as an example? Don't sit there, don't worry. For example, Jeffrey has a brother called Jaden, right? And so Jaden does something good. And so Jeffrey is so excited to tell his parents. So what is Jeffrey trying to do? Jaden says, don't do that, right? And so he's trying to hold Jeffrey's hand by saying, you don't go. So that's the image Paul is using. In other words, you know, you are someone is trying to hold you back, but you shouldn't. You should go with a lot of joy. No one can stop me. Nothing should stop me. It's not just telling. I want to proclaim the good news that Jesus died for me, for you. You can't stop me, Jaden. I'm going to tell. That kind of excitement, that kind of zeal, that was what Paul was saying. You proclaim the Lord's death. So when we come to the Lord's table, we are proclaiming that Jesus died. That kind of excitement. No one should stop, my friend, from us proclaiming that Jesus died. I think that was the message what Paul wanted them to do. That's the message the Lord wants us to know. Sometimes when we share the testimony of Jesus, we don't want to talk about the death of Jesus Christ because we talk about the love of Christ. You know, God so loves you so much. He answers your prayers. He likes to heal us. He wants to company with us. Yes, those are wonderful things. Yeah, I'm not denying that. But the main message of the gospel is the cross. Paul and the Lord wants us to remember that. Secondly, I think when you look at the communion, what happens here, right? Second word is opportunity, right? What is the opportunity? It's opportunity to express our gratitude and praise. Now, when you look at the word very carefully, when he had given thanks, right? Imagine for a moment, Jesus is about to die, right? He will be brought to the authorities. He will be questioned. He will be caned, and he will be finally nailed to the cross. And Jesus knew that. But even then, it says he gave thanks. He gave thanks for the death that is given to him. You know, the more I read about scripture, I realize Jesus is a very joyful person. A very joyful guy, right? Can you ever imagine? Sometimes we imagine Jesus as if he's a very firm guy, stern person, just going around and preaching like John the Baptist, repent and be baptized, right? But Jesus is a very joyful person. Because when you read, right, he gave thanks for the food that was given to him, right? He gave thanks to the people whom he was ministering, right? In Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, you read, right? He gave thanks even in the midst of suffering. In other words, he accepted whatever God was just giving to him. Lord, don't you just give it to me, Lord. But I know that you are also with me, even whatever that happens in my life. Very joyful. You know, he took. If this Jesus is so joyful, what about you and I, my friend? When we come to the table, it's sad, right? But at the same time, we are joyful because, you know, Jesus gave his life. And so I came, Lord, I come to share to show my gratitude for what you have done for me on the cross. That's why it is called Eucharist. Eucharisto, in other words, it's a Greek word which means thanksgiving. We give thanks to God. So when we come to the cross, You know, we are reminded of the Lord's death. We are reminded to proclaim, right, until He comes. That's the focus. That's what Christianity is all about. And I come with gratitude. Right, whatever happens in my life, nothing, Paul says, right, can take me away from the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing can separate me from the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so whatever happens, I'm just thankful because God is with me. And so that should be the way, you know, Paul says that we need to be thankful of. Thankful to God because of the new life that He has given. For the transformation that's happening in our lives. For the joys and the blessings that we receive. For the difficulties, because through that, you know, our faith can be strengthened. For the eternal life that we have been assured. So when we approach, are we saying, Lord, I thank You. Not only You died, but because of Christ, Lord, I can face things. I can say, like the Apostle Paul, rejoice in all situations. I can always be having a heart full of gratitude. Lastly, it invites us, right? I think when you look at the word in our invitation, look at the word very carefully. I think it invites us, right? Not just to come thankful, right, and to leave, but also to reflect and to renew our relationship with Christ. Look at the word very carefully. Jesus, right, He took the cup and He said, this is a new covenant. I want to emphasize on the word covenant. It's a very interesting word. And I like the name of our church, New Covenant. Right? It's a new covenant. Probably our pioneers of this church, maybe I think they were into communion. That's why they took this word, New Covenant Alliance Church. Interesting. You know, it's the covenant is always done between two parties. There's an agreement. You know, these are the things that is expected from both parties. Right? And so God is faithful in the scriptures that we read. But as I come, as we come to the table, we are saying, Lord, You are so faithful. You are so wonderful. It's a time to renew and ask myself, you know, where am I in my spiritual walk? Where am I in my relationship with God? Where am I in my love for God? God is so faithful. Am I loving Him? Am I drawing closer to Him? I think that is an important thing that I think Paul emphasizes. This is a new covenant that Jesus wanted to have with the believers, my friend. That's why, you know, he also says in this particular word, right? When he writes in 1 Corinthians, the following chapters, he's right, a participation in the blood of Christ, a participation in the blood, in the body of Christ. In other words, we do have some kind of participation, not only promoting the gospel, but living a life for the Lord Jesus Christ, becoming a great testimony for Him. So communion is a powerful reminder. It's something like, you know, to check our lives to see whether my life is in alignment with God. It's not just coming and drinking bread, but to see and ask myself, how's my life today? How's my walk with God today? How's my faithfulness to God today? Am I living? God is faithful. Am I living a life that God wants me to live? And that's why you look at the word very carefully. Paul uses the word participation, and that's why the church fathers use the word communion. That's the way we got our word, Holy Communion. It's a participation where we say, Lord, I want to be part of Your mission. I want to be part of what You want to do in this world. I want to be part of the things of God that You long to see happening in this world. I want to participate not only in the joys, but also in the suffering, that I'm willing to defend the faith at whatever cost. And that's what Paul is teaching us. What a wonderful to know, right? We just sang the song, the battle belongs to the Lord. But remember, do we want to be part of that battle? Yes, it belongs to God, but do we want to be part of that battle? And say, Lord, I just want to have communion be saying, Lord, I'm still struggling. So it's a time for us to renew, to reflect, at the same time, renew our faith. Let me leave with this quote before we break bread today. I like Matthew Henry's commentaries, and he said these words, right? He said, the Lord's Supper is a spiritual diet that should be taken often. It's a spiritual diet that should be taken often. I know all of us love to eat, right? After service, many a times we go out to eat. It's a spiritual diet that we should be taken. And so we want to be part of this communion. Ask ourselves today, are we right? When was the last time we thought about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? His death for us. Right? And are we proclaiming? Right? Are we saying, no, I have to proclaim, and this is fundamental. This is important. It is for you and me, my friend. At the same time, God calls us to be part of this communion because he wants to have us to come with heart full of gratitude. Am I thankful for what Jesus has done on the cross? Am I thankful for the many blessings that he has given to me, the new hope that he has given to me, the people that God has given to me? Am I thankful? Am I living a life of joy even in the midst of struggle? I know God is with me because he went through, and I'm together, I'm part. I want to participate. And lastly, are we willing to reflect and renew, Lord? So it's a time for us to check ourselves where we are. And that's why Paul says, which I don't want to go along. He says, some of you are ill because of this, because you take it lightly. And Paul says, you examine yourself. The word, interesting word he's using, examines yourself. In the Greek word, it means you test yourself. You need to test to see whether I can be part of this communion. But that was not what was happening in the Corinthian church. Are we worthy to come and say, Lord, I need you? So let me invite you to the table, and I want you, prayerfully take a moment to reflect what we have heard today. The death of Christ is the key, right? And God wants us to remember that, because Christianity is different, seen differently today in many circles, right? And today it has become more like a moral teaching. I remember one of my professors back in the U.S., my wife knows, we have gone to the house for dinner. Very sad, but a very interesting person. She taught me. But, she is a religious person, but she doesn't see herself as a spiritual person. She takes good teachings from every isms, including Christianity. Only the good teachings. The ones that she thinks that's not good, she takes away. I took some courses with her too. Excellent teacher, but that was how she saw. So Christianity was just an add-on to the other things in her life. And so God doesn't want us to approach the table in that way. If you believe that Jesus died and I love him, and I'm thankful for what God is doing in my life, for bringing that salvation, that new hope, even in the difficulties, I know Jesus is with me and he has never let me down. And I come because I want to live a life for the gospel. I think God calls us to the table. Please come.